We are reviewing. Hi, Monet. It is me, Bob Drag Queen, and Monet Exchange. I'm still great. Monet and I are doing two back-to-back episodes. I don't know what our release schedule is going to be for these, actually, but we do two episodes a week anyway, so they're probably going to be releasing Monday and Wednesday, probably.
Yeah, probably.
And we're reviewing episode 2 of All Stars 8 of RuPaul's Drag Race.
Yes.
The first which is, I will say that this episode got a little bit better than the last episode.
How so?
Maybe it was actually, I don't, you know, let's talk about it and see if it did. Cause I think this challenge, the challenge itself was actually.
Well, we'll talk about the challenge. I had some thoughts about sketch competition, but at the top of the episode, the girls are going through. You're opening the lipstick box.
Well, I think this is why I said it because I don't know why Candy Muse decided to tell Darren like out of nowhere that she chose her. Candy was like, "I was saying, but I told you." Like they start counting all the names, and Candy Muse was eager.
Darren had 4 votes.
Eager to tell Darren like Darren. She chose her name.
Yeah. I think it's going on brand with Candy being like, I want to be real and I want people to know like when I do something, I'll fess up to it. I think she's hoping that this will serve her later. Not serve her, but it's just Candy's thing. She's like, well, I'll say what I did. Yeah, I voted for you. And she's like, I did it because Monica gave a really compelling story and she needs this a lot. And I wanted to keep her here for those reasons. And so did James. Well, and also did
James and Lala Reid came forward and said the same and said they also chose Darren as the name. But then Candy later on was like, I kind of wish I hadn't done that and I'm not going to do it again.
Yeah. Yeah. Which is, you know.
Ghana Montrese also chose Monica Beverly Hills. So Monica did not stand a chance.
Yeah. Oh, Ghana, because Ghana was the, it was, yes. Right. So whoever won, she was going home. Yeah.
But she lost the lip sync. So we are now rolling over to a $20,000 tip on this episode, which, spoiler alert, you all saw. I mean, baby, when you fucking bring out Pangina, just give the money to the next bitch. Cause like, girl, she's wild.
Vaughn, we're at the beginning of the episode. What are you talking about?
I know, but if you're here, you've already watched it. Like, I'm not spoiling anything. I'm just saying, like, I'm not spoiling anything.
I haven't watched it yet. I'm living through this with you right now.
I believe, actually. I fully believe that you didn't watch it. You're just using me as context clues to figure out. That scans for you.
Anyway. They come into the room the next day and Rue reveals that they're going to have a sketch comedy challenge. And okay, I know that for example, Bossy Rossi, in theory, it kind of is a sketch. Sketch is different. Like sketch comedy is like SNL or like Mad TV on these shows. And Bossy Rossi, those are improv challenges. But in a similar vein, this sounds more exciting to me than doing like an improv challenge like Bossy Rossi. This sounds like so much fun.
This is scripted. It's not improv. I mean, I would say almost all of the acting challenges on Drag Race are sketch. They're all technically sketch,
right?
Comedy, but it's not an improv challenge. I actually prefer improv challenge over
really
over this. I much prefer improv challenges over the scripted stuff.
Did you have an improv one, or was your? I guess
no.
Your voting one wasn't that y'all kind of just y'all had like general things that y'all
we had to write them. We wrote.
Oh,
them
you out. Wrote those out.
Yeah. And I was improvising during the RuCo's Empire thing, but we didn't have my season. Didn't have any improv things. It didn't have any stand up comedy. There was no roast. My season was kind of a weird season for not having things that like
every you know what happened. Has. Ru walked into Viacom. He's like, I'm not renewing this contract with Logo TV. I'm want to go somewhere else. So that like everybody, I think there was like some strikes and stuff going on. It was a tough season.
Are you making that up?
No, that's what happened.
Okay.
So doing a sketch comedy sounds so fun. I would have loved to do an SNL type challenge. It sounds very, very fun.
Did you watch RuPaul's episode of
Of course, I did. RuPaul was great. SNL. RuPaul was so great. I had to watch come and do SNL.
It was great. Bo and Yang and RuPaul had some great sketches.
Uh-huh.
I ran into Matt Rogers and Bo and Yang at the GLAAD Awards, and Matt Rogers was like, well, let's see if you beat us tonight. And I didn't get a chance to say this speech. I wanted to say it. So Matt Rogers, if you're listening, I was going to say this. I was going to say, actually, because we were like a few blocks from where I was going to say, just so you guys know, like, it's really wild to me. I used to wait tables about a 4-minute walk from here at the Jekyll and Hyde Club at 57th and 6th. So it's really kind of just like apropos that I'm here, and I was going to go on about that. And then I was going to say, And Matt, like, I don't want any hard feelings because, listen, I'm not saying that my podcast is better than yours. Glad is saying that. But I didn't get a chance to say that.
So, you know, Andy went to college with Matt Rogers and Bowen Yang, and they... I'll talk to you about this offline, actually. I don't know why. No, they didn't. That is not true. You are... That sounds like such a disgusting sound. Can you please stop? This is very inappropriate.
Bob, did they do all that?
Oh my God. You are disgusting.
Is that what Andy did with some of the funniest comedians? So you think fucking Bowen Yang and Matt Rogers is disgusting?
No, I think that fucking Andy is disgusting. Oh.
Why did Candy say SNL has dry humor? And everyone's like, yeah, they do. And I was like, I don't think this was dry humor.
I don't know. When she said that to you, I was like, girl, what? But out the gate when they announced a challenge, and before just what I know off of these girls from the previous seasons, I was like, Darian, Alexis, and Jimbo are gonna turn it. That's what my thought was.
I love Bobby Moynihan.
Bobby Moynihan. Why?
I just think Bobby Moynihan's just so funny. And when I used to watch SNL with him, he's just so fucking funny.
I went to high school with him.
Did you really?
Yeah, he was best friends with my best friend's sister. He was a year old. I knew him very well, yeah.
And did you...
Oh my, can you not? My mom is going to listen to this episode.
Hi. So Candy wants to do the opening monologue, which I would have given it to Darian Lake.
Oh, I would have taken it for myself.
Money, I'm talking about people on the season.
But why would you want to give it to Darian Lake?
If I was on the show, I wouldn't have given it to Darian Lake. But of the girls there, it seems like it'd be more fitting for Darian Lake.
So you don't want to give it to her. You want to you want to disadvantage her and do something that you think you could do well.
No, what I'm saying is I as a viewer would rather see Darian Lake do it. I'm not talking about like strategy wise.
Got it.
But also it's not necessarily just a disadvantage. Like for example, if there's like a sing high pitch thing, I'm not trying to take it from Jinx if she doesn't have it because I won't do well at it either. You know what I mean?
But I think Candy thinks she will do well. Like Candy is like, oh, the open monologue is like the first thing people see. And she thinks she's gonna be doing strong and giving it to Darian Lake, knowing Darian Lake does stand up, is like, oh, she's gonna kill it. You know?
You know, I agree, but I'm just saying, as a viewer, I think that Darian Lake would have done better.
Oh, for sure. I agree, for sure. For sure. As they are doing parts, though, Nation does not get the part that she wants, baby. And you know a bitch is mad when everyone's like, they sure. I know you want this. Is it okay if you do this? She's like, no, it's fine. I'll just do this one. It's fine. When a bitch said, no, it's fine. I'll just do it. You know they are tight. And she is really upset that she's not going to get the role she wants.
Yeah, it cuts her saying she's really pissed. But also, she did nothing to fight for the role. Like, absolutely nothing to fight for that role.
Yeah, that's true. That's fair.
I'm like, girl, you lost it. You didn't even put up a stink.
She's like, and Bob is getting that role. Okay.
Literally. And then in confessionals, I'm really pissed. Well.
I think it's so funny that James Mansfield keeps on going on about starring in The Bitch Who Stole Christmas and that being like her calling card to acting in comedy. That's the bitch she would have worked. She would have milked that cow.
I mean, she did have a nice role in a feature film that aired on TV. You know what I mean?
I agree.
And also, did you watch it?
We were on tour and I saw like a little piece. Jan Sport would play it every night on the bus.
She was really good in it.
James or Jan?
James was really good in it.
So you think Jan was bad in it?
I think Jan should quit drag. No, Jan was fine. But I'm talking about James in this moment. Jan was good too. But James was very, very good in this movie. I remember being like, wow, she ate that. She was the villain.
Look at how I ate. Look at how she ate that. Look at how she bodied that. When Ruby,
I low-key think that the role was written for Trixie and that Brooklyn Heights role was written for Katya because Brooklyn Heights was playing a Russian hooker.
Yeah, for sure.
And Danny Minnis was playing a blonde bitch.
When RuPaul brings in Bobby Moynihan to come in, I was like, and he announced earlier, and Bobby announces that Robin Thede is going to be, I was like, bitch, they got some comedy sketch like fucking gods up in here. Like Bobby Moynihan was on SNL for what, 11 years or like 11 seasons?
9 years.
And Robin Thede is a great comedian, sketch comedian. She hosts, or she's a creator of a Black Lady sketch on HBO, and she's so funny, which Bob was on. And what y'all don't know is that it was supposed to be me, but I was filming All-Star 7. So that
But Money Audition and did a horrible job.
But then I was on All-Star 7, so Bob got it after me.
Yeah, first of all, I was on twice, and Monet knows that what she's saying is completely false, because you were not on All-Stars both of those
I
times.
Was on All-Stars for the first one.
First of all, I filmed the first one before the pandemic, so what's really the truth?
Or the second one, one of them.
Oh, okay. Interesting. Muy interesante. And also, Bobby Moynihan comes in and what's the name? It's triggered. Kahana's triggered because she got sent home when Bobby Moynihan was there on an acting challenge.
Yes. Yeah. Do you remember that?
She almost did it again.
Do you remember that a bunch of the guys from SNL, when they were like mechanics, they did a whole sketch about Drag Race and Trinity the Tux Tuck. Do you remember this?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. There's a lot of Drag Race SNL overlap, is what I'm trying to say.
During the little makeup moments, Lala Ree feels more comfortable about her acting than she did last time. When they showed that clip of her acting in the Flag Factory, I was like, this was bad. I didn't realize how bad it was at the time.
The factory.
Of course, they pulled one little part, but I was like, damn, she really is just straight up just saying these lines out loud. It was giving Monet book report.
Anyway, yeah, you know, a lot of us have had not our greatest moments on Drag Race, but you know, you come back to All Stars and hopefully you turn it out. And a sketch comedy challenge. What a great time to try to turn the wheel around, turn the tide. And that's really, there's nothing really else exciting happening to make up moments. Do you, anything for you?
Well, this is when Candy mentioned not wanting to make her a decision based on emotions, but we already talked about that already.
Yeah. So they go into...
Before we go into the challenge, go ahead.
No, and I was going to say, for the casting of it, it's hard to say like what you'd be good at, because a lot of it kind of not depends on your partner, but if you're a partner with someone that is like really bobbing the scene, that kind of makes it hard for you to do your job as well.
Yeah, sometimes, or you can turn it into a magical moment, and that can be part of the experience, them bombing. You know what I mean?
True.
I am, baby, I don't know how long ago this was filmed, but based on this writing, I'm assuming the writer's strike happened right before this episode was written, because these sketches were, these sketches were not good. This writing was not, I did not enjoy this writing.
But I think some girls were able to turn that into something really great. Like, you know, Candy's opening monologue. So I didn't know what, I think that some of them, there were some punchlines that could have been really good, but I think her delivery kind of fumbled it a little bit.
I mean, I don't know how much it was the writing, how much it was the delivery, but I just was not, overall, I was not feeling, this challenge just like, I think I laughed out loud like maybe twice.
I did laugh at Jimbo's. I thought Jimbo did a really great job. I thought Jimbo was very strong, actually.
I think I laughed at one of Lala Ree's lines, I think. And I think I laughed at something that Miss Kasha Davis said when she was on that like rolling platform.
Yeah. And Heidi and Claus and Lala Ree were playing, what's his name? Michael Che and
the other one.
The other guy, the white guy from SNL.
I was gagged at them promoting the Diva Rules. They were still trying to sell this 8-year-old book. I was gagged. I was like, if y'all don't push something new, this book literally came out 8 years ago.
Did it really?
Get it together. Yes, I Googled it just to make sure. I was like, this book is like at least 5 years old. It was 8 years old.
Gag.
2015, this book came out.
I thought that Kasha Davis was good when she came into Candy's scene and she had that thing on the rolling thing. I thought Kasha Davis did a good job as well, actually.
Yeah, she did. Kasha Davis had two small roles in two scenes.
Yeah, yeah.
As opposed to one entire scene.
But I do agree that Kahana's cat thing was not great. I think that she should have just punched it up with a few more like little cat puns maybe. And what Robin Thede ended up saying, I was like, oh yeah, that makes sense. And she should have she could have really taken a chance to just be extra cat-like and really personify what this cat would be like.
And what did Monica end up doing again?
Monica wasn't here.
Not Monica, sorry. Naysha was in the...
Naysha was...
She's the doctor.
The cold open.
That's right.
Yeah, James was really good. I thought James did a great job. I really enjoyed James's role in that cold open, actually.
Wait, if you liked her, you should see her in The Bitch Stole Christmas. You'd love it. if you like that, wait till you hear about a movie called The Bitch Stole Christmas.
Give her the Emmy.
Also, I was Jessica Wilde's waist is tiny.
She pads so big. Jessica Wilde wears like huge pads.
And I think she's also probably just really skinny.
Yeah.
So I think the combination of the do was giving like, geez Louise.
Yeah. I also, at the end, I thought that Candy could have like flipped that last line, the if you can't love yourself line. Cause again, it's a sketch. You can just like go off script, something like super funny. I don't know.
Did she just say it straight up?
Yeah, you can't. How the hell are you gonna love somebody else? Like, if you can't love yourself, how the hell are you gonna walk that fucking duck or something like that? I don't know.
I would have said, and if you can't love yourself, honestly, I understand because you're kind of a dick. How about I would say? Well, if you can't love yourself, I get it because you're fucking annoying. Let's go on to look at the judges and what they were. We didn't talk about the judges last time. So I want to say that RuPaul's back in her gown era. She had a hoe era for a while, and she is back in her...
Bob, only two episodes in.
She's back. I'm telling you, I feel it in my soul. She's back in her elegant era.
Cut to next week. RuPaul literally comes out in pasties. You're going to gag.
In the illusion of a noodle. Michelle's in bright colors. I'm used to seeing her in so much dark colors.
I love this. I love this tangerine. Okay, so my new thing is wearing long sleeves, but having them go over my knuckles and have a little thumb hole. I put it in everything now. I'm in my thumb hole knuckle era.
I think my next era is going to be all denim everything.
Are you just doing a thing, or are you seriously going to start doing that?
I think my next era will be all denim everything.
He's doing a bit. He's not doing all denim anything. Robin Thede looks great. This is a very cute dress. I love this color blocking on it. It's very cute.
Yeah, I love Robin Thede. I should text her and tell her I should do it. I like Robin. Robin is really...
Oh,
really
I should text her. I should text her. Y'all see how the nigga trying to sleep it in? I should text her. like, I should text her.
Yeah, just like Andy did with Bowen Yang. I slipped it in, honey. I slipped it in.
Today's episode is brought to you by Angie. Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs and projects done well. Let me tell you, there's the version of it where you try to do something at home, and then there's a version of it where you have someone help you, you watch them do it the right way, and you go, thank God I didn't try to do that myself. I have fully done things around the home that I think look good, and then a bang in the night, and I wake up to a shelf collapsing, a painting falling off the wall. Like, I've seen it all go south. I own a home, and I can tell you, I know how much work it can take. Whether it's everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Whatever your home project, big or small, indoor or outdoor, you can Angie that and connect with skilled professionals to get the project done well. Right now, one of my wish lists is I want a bike for my condo in Milwaukee, and I would love to rig it up on a pulley in the ceiling because I have one of those like lofted ceilings, but I'm so scared to try that on my own. Angie has 20 years of home experience and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app. Answer a few questions and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's ANGI.com.
Our next partner has truly made a positive impact on the most important person in my life. And no, I'm not talking about Jacob. I'm talking about my cat. My cat's old food used to stink, stank, stunk, y'all, okay? And I used to dread every time I had to feed Miss Colleen. That old cat food was boring. It was gray. It was looking crazy. And I could see Colleen literally vomiting
telepathically at the thought of having to eat it. And cat food has been the same forever, so it's time cat food took the move to the 21st century, and that's why I've been trying Smalls. Are you feeding your cat kibble? Now is the time to update your cat food with Smalls. Smalls cat food is protein-packed recipes made with preservative-free ingredients you'd find in your fridge, and it's delivered right to your door. Smalls was started
now,
back
I was watching my poor niece eat literal hard kernels of dry cereal while Monet and Andy were eating gourmet food. And that's actually when I stepped in and I said, we need to make sure that she's eating as well as you two are, okay? Smalls was started back in 2017 by a couple of guys home cooking cat food in small batches for their friends. And a few short years later, they serve millions of meals to cats around the world, honey. And I feel better knowing that Colleen is eating well. And that she has an aunt like me who looks out for her to make sure she's not eating that old burnt up kibble. You can finally open up a packet of cat food and not get nauseated. You actually recognize the ingredients in the packet of Smalls Food. Now give your cat the gift of great cat food this holiday season. Head to smalls.com/rivalry and use code rivalry to check out for 50% off your first order plus free shipping. That's the best offer you'll find. But you have to use the code RIVALRY for 50% off your first order. One last time, that's promo code RIVALRY for 50% off your first order plus free shipping.
Let's go on to the runway looks, Bob. The category was...
Wow, ignore Carson Kressley's entire existence.
But Carson always looks good. Carson always looks great. Carson and I hung out and when it came for Mardi Gras.
Look how Monet sent it in. We hung out.
And I can actually text Carson.
We hung out. Well, if I had not been blocked, and I could text him too.
The category was the Met Gala, which I love this play on it. This is really great.
Rachel Lopez looks stunning.
She looks great. When Nick critiqued her saying, I was like, what are you talking about? She looks really good.
Beautiful. Absolutely beautiful.
I love how the vinyl glove matching that vinyl like thigh high legging with this netting and the hair and the makeup. I thought she looks really good. I was so gagged when Michelle tried to read her on this look. I'm like, she looks stunning.
I agree. And this is how you can wear human hair, but it's not just like flattened down. I love this.
Yeah, she looks really, really, really good.
I love James's look. James's look is so good. It's amazing. I love this net on her head.
Uh-huh.
It's so good. I love this.
Yeah, this was really, really, and her body looks incredible. I love that she had the ostrich on her collar, on her wrist, and then on the feet too. It just made the proportions look really good. Do you know, Bob, that you cannot bring ostrich feathers into Australia?
I didn't know that.
Because it's bad for the ecosystem and for the animals. So Jinx bought an ostrich outfit in, and they seized it from her like last trip she was here, and they never reimbursed her for it, and they never gave it back to her.
What did they do? They probably destroyed it.
And then nobody said they would, and just never did. And then Trinity came in with, I mean,
like the authorities took it from her.
Yeah, like customs, border control. And then Trinity came on this trip with a big ass ostrich gown, and they just let her come in with it. Well, they didn't check. To be fair, they checked Jinx's and they saw it. That's why they took it.
Monet, you literally just ratted on her. Like, damn.
We're going to be gone by then.
You know, stitches, they get stitches. That's what they do. And you just snitched. Damn. Don't tell Monet shit.
Let's go into Candy Muse. Now, I fucking love this. Where's the net? It's Tool.
I mean, Tool is a kind of net.
Love that's me. Stretching it. That's dragging it.
I don't think it is. I mean, it's like, it's got little holes in it and everything. Like, I think that you could catch fish with a tool bag and like more so than, and you can see straight through it. I think it's net. I think that makes sense.
I mean, I fucking love this look though. I think this is very, 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 such a cool concept. Having her face spray painted on it. Her makeup looks good. Her hair looks great. I love this outfit. It's very similar. This is a Kim K Balenciaga fantasy, which Alexa Michelle did for the first week, but it's a different color, and the spray paint thing just adds another layer to it. I love this. This is very beautiful.
Kimchi used to have a dress like this, but it was Kim Kardashian crying on it.
Really?
Yeah, Kimchi used to have a gown that had like Kim Kardashian's face crying. It was painted by what's his name? Drag King from Chicago.
Tenderoni.
Tenderoni had painted it.
Kim would. That is such a Kimchi thing to do.
Let's go into Mrs. Kasha Davis.
Terrible. Burn it. Why would you pack that? It is terrible. You look really bad, and I don't like it.
Now that we've got the sugar coating knocked off, I would like to hear your true opinions. No, this is not great, and this is offensive to look at.
I was like, girl, what? It's, first of all, just like the black skirt with the netting, a long loaf behind it, with the pink bustier, with the shoulder things, and the hair color. This is just all wrong. All wrong. All wrong.
Yeah, this is not a great look. This is not a shining moment for Ms. Kasha Davis. Let's go on to Jimbo. This is such a cool look.
This is cool, but I did think it was too much. Like, I don't know where my eyes, like, I get this is high concept. I get what she's going for, but I think it's a scotch too much. And I love Jimbo. This is a lot.
One thing I don't like is whatever's going on her crotch.
What is it supposed to be?
Maybe a vagina? Maybe?
Yeah, I did not like this, actually. I was gagged. It was so well received. I love the concept. I didn't like it. And I couldn't tell if the things, were they moving like animatronically or were they just swaying with her?
I think they were just like kind of rocking and bobbing around.
Okay. I was like, because I thought they were like moving like arms like fucking Doc Ock. And I was like, oh shit. But
I love the idea. And I just wish they didn't have that crotch thing going on with it.
Yeah. Let's go on to Miss Jessica Wilde. This is her and Kasha Davis thought in a similar way. Oh, also really quick, back to Kasha Davis, she had the smallest butterfly net. Like, she went to the baby section and got her a little butterfly net, and she like waving around.
Yeah, that is a tiny little net. And here we have Jessica Wilde. I actually kind of like this.
I like it too. I wish she did more with the bodice. Like, I love the arms and the legs, but something about the bodice, it just feel like it's missing something there. It's like, I don't know, but I do like it though.
I cannot believe that we lived in the same timeline as the Age of O'Hara butterfly thing.
Do you think the Age of O'Hara on Earth 2 did something similar?
I mean, I reckon so, but instead there were pigeons.
Oh my God.
And then Cameron Michaels just stumped on the pigeons.
Jesus Christ.
That was your season, wasn't it?
She had my season. She had to do a whole thing with PETA, I think, afterwards.
So you were in the audience watching that happen, or are you backstage?
I was sitting right in the audience next to Ms. Cracker.
Can you talk me through what was happening there?
So she started the number, and we obviously knew something was coming, right? Something from her tits, whatever it was. I thought it was going to be confetti cannons. Now she's doing this thing, and then we see her open, I think, her wrist first, and she's trying to, like, do this, but nothing's happening. We're like, what the fuck it's been doing Pilates. What the fuck is going on? And then she opened her tits out to make the butterflies go on, and then we noticed they were just on the floor, like,
God.
And then Cameron come, here go Cameron, somersaulting the split floor on the floor, directly onto butterflies. Like, I honestly, I really think Cameron saw the butterflies. She's like, oh, bitch, y'all trying to make me lose you? Like, Cameron was like,
Cameron said, y'all trying to jump me? Y'all trying to jump me? They tried to kill me.
Yes. Yeah, it was wild. It was a wild times, girl.
I felt bad for Asia. Asia is never going to let that down. I mean, we're not helping.
You know she has a butterfly sanctuary at her house now.
It's so... That was a wild moment in the history of drag.
Talk to me as someone who was watching it on TV. What did you think when you actually saw the footage?
It was the only word I can use is cringe. I felt really embarrassed. I felt embarrassed to be watching it happen. Mm. And I was like, I wish I wasn't watching this. I wish that I didn't have to see this happen because I'm embarrassed that this is happening. And I kept thinking to myself, why did she think that would work? Like, first of all, to make it impactful in a space that big, you would need like 100 butterflies. This bitch had like 7.
Well, you know, because we filmed the finale, then we filmed the reunion the next day on the same stage. And the next day, all throughout our reunion, butterflies were flying around because they were frozen. They were like in a sleep, like they were induced into sleep. So when they finally thawed out, they were just in the theater, just living their butterfly lives.
And I think the crazy part was when she threw it up and then like kind of like caught it, but it just hit the ground. Because she threw it up as if it was gonna fly away.
Oh but my it god.
Didn't go very far.
Let's go on to Miss Heidi Klausimer.
Wild Nasty Girl by Janet Jackson.
Because that was the other thing too. It just didn't make sense with the song. If it was Nelly Furtado, I'm like a bird, I wanna fly away. If it was Rihanna, I came to win.
Michael Jackson's You Give Me Butterflies.
Something like that. But what about Nasty Girl made it a thing?
I think she got the outfit made before she knew what the song was.
Yeah.
Okay, we got to keep going. So let's look at
Heidi and Klausimer. The Gap Shoot Diva.
She said, you're going to look at this. She said, I'm going to wear my logo and you're going to look at it a lot.
Which is so unfortunate because the outfit is really cool and I love the hair. Her makeup, she looks great. But having the gap all over the outfit is so strange to me. I'm allergic to this look. I can't look at it.
Like, does she have a lot of those around the house?
Girl, she blew somebody's Etsy up, okay? Whatever bitch on Etsy made these damn logos. She is eating this season because she's going to be selling a lot of these logos. But I think I love this look so much. I just don't like the gaps all over it.
Yeah, I agree. I don't know why she's obsessed with these gaps. Let's move on to Lala Ri, who is going to do a nude illusion. It is literally the last thing she does. She will look like a noodle. You cannot stop this bitch. From doing a nude illusion.
Oh my God, she really is. She's done some type of nude illusion every episode, huh?
She did it for the promo, and she did it, I think, twice in the last episode.
I like this gown. I didn't like the sleeve things, though, but I like the gown.
I like it. She looks kind of like Elphaba. Her legs are so long, mm-hmm. and I think she looks really good. I never noticed how, like, daytime her makeup is.
Daytime?
Like, it's just like her eye makeup. It's just like a little bit of eyeshadow.
No, Bob, it's a smoky eye. We made a little eyeshadow.
Yeah, I mean, for drag, it's a little eyeshadow.
Oh, we can't
like,
get
like
it.
You, like, click on Heidi, click on Jimbo, click on Kostya, click on... I mean, Candy's also doing a little bit, too.
Candy's not... We can't get into this little makeup thing again. I don't think Candy's
doing makeup. Which, by the way, a lot of people were agreeing with me. They were all like, I don't know why I want to act like she doesn't know what the fuck Bob's talking about.
But looking at Candy Muse, I don't see a little makeup. Candy Muse, she has blush blown out to her hair.
I'm talking about their eyes.
Okay, eyes. How many times are you going to say eyes?
Until you understand it.
Let's go on to Kahana Von Treese, which her body is insane. She is so beautiful. I'm going to say it every time I see her because she looks incredible. And I like this look a lot. I mean, okay, I like this look. You know my pet peeve with any type of stone pant and just like a pump. I just wish the whole shoe was incorporated into the garter thing.
Well, I think the shoe is stone.
Yeah, but just seeing that flesh at the bottom, it's just a personal thing for me. I know that this is great. It's just a personal thing for me that is for my eyes and my neurodivergence.
You're neurodivergent?
I am.
Doesn't she look a little like Tana Taylor?
Who's Tana Taylor?
She's a singer, R&B singer, Tiana Taylor. I don't see
Tiana Taylor. I thought you said Tana Taylor.
Tiana Taylor.
Maybe a little bit. I can see that. Yeah, she looks really great. This is a really nice stoning job. Yeah. I think her boobs might be a little bit too big.
Yeah.
And I think that's what it was about the Lil Nas X look that was throwing me off. I think her boobs are just a scotch too big.
But the problem is, though, from the front,
because they're so big, it does that and it looks good from the front. When you see it from the side or any angle, they're just so big this way.
Can I ask you a question about big tits?
Yeah.
So hers to me look fake. They look really fake. Like they look rubbery. Whereas I've seen other girls who wear them where they don't look as fake. And that's what was throwing me off in the first episode, Runway. They just looked like they didn't belong. They looked clearly not real.
I think it's because her boobs are not actually the same color as her skin, which I think is kind of harder for black people because like black people can be as light as white people and as, you know, dark as the night sky. So it's kind of hard to get. And I have one titty bib that is literally sewn into my garment that I have worn. And I had to get it custom painted to look right.
The one you wore in season 2 over here.
Yeah, in the Temecula episode. This one here. Jay, is it up there? Is it up there, Jay? Now that you're here with us on the call, is it there, Jay? Did it make the cut? Wow, Jay's ignoring me. I'll send it to Jay. I'm sending it to Jay right now so Jay cannot, if it's not in there, y'all, it ain't me this time.
That means, Jay, if you don't put it in, that means Black Lives Don't Matter.
Yeah.
I put everything in when I get it.
Just drag. Like Andy and Bowen Yang, slip it in, honey.
Oh
slip
my God. In. Can we finish the episode? I have to go to work. I'm not in my hotel room kicking like you. I'm at work. So let's go on to the next queen, which is Darian Lake. And I thought this was such an brilliant and smart way to do net. This was so funny to me. This is so cool.
It took me a second to realize she was a basketball, but it is really cute. And it is really funny. She also looks nice. She looks really, really good.
She looks really good. And the fabric she had under the dress, she was like doing her little swaying thing. And it was like moving. It looked really great.
Yeah, she's quite campy. It's a really camp look. I guess since Monet's in a big rush to get out of here, I guess we should just zoom through the rest of them. All right, guys. So Alexis Michelle, I like it. Let's go.
Anyway, I think Alexis, obviously she has this netting fabric on top of it, but she really stuck to the gala part of it. Like this is something that I feel like you could see at the actual Met Gala, right?
I agree. She couldn't walk in it very well, which is kind of annoying.
Yeah, yeah.
But also, I've noticed a lot of people at Met Gala cannot walk in their outfits, and they be looking crazy as they go from camera to camera. But Alexis Michelle, I mean, this goes us. I think that Alexis Michelle has a style of drag that I like a lot. That I also,
I can see you wearing this hair. I can see you wearing this hair.
I would wear this whole outfit.
Yeah,
I often see Alexis Michelle wear things and go, I would wear that. Like. Often, I think, except when she wears her hair down, I'm not really into that. But when this whole look, I wouldn't wear those. The only thing I wouldn't wear is those earrings. Everything else.
What's wrong with the earrings?
I just don't really like those big, huge drag earrings. I just don't wear them. I used to wear them, but I just don't wear them anymore. Yes. And I mean, pretty rarely. On rare occasions, I'll grab one.
Yeah, Alexis looks really, really, really good. Like she looks really, she looks beautiful, very beautiful. So we found, who's your favorite look?
I'm going to give it to Alexis Michelle, actually.
I'm going to go with Nasha Lopez. I think Nasha looks really stunning, and I'm gagged. Ooh, or James Mansfield. I'm going to go with Nasha Lopez.
I would wear James's, too. I'm trying to go through and see which ones I would wear. I would wear James's. I would wear Alexis, I would wear
Kasha Davis.
I actually lent that to Kasha Davis and I needed to get it back to me. So after the after they walked the runway, we got some judging, and I just didn't get the note about them saying they couldn't understand what Nasha Lopez was saying. I was like, I understood every word she said.
Yeah, I agree. When Michelle was trying to sell that fantasy, and then they showed the clip afterwards, and I was like, I understood everything she said. Now, you can say it wasn't funny.
I agree that it wasn't funny. Right. I agree. It was not funny, but I was like, I understood basically every word she said. I don't get it.
Yeah, I agree. It was a little strange. The top queen this week was Jimbo. Do you agree?
I What did Alexis Michelle do in the challenge? Alexis Michelle was
the Jersey Michelle, the book club thing.
Yeah, with Darian Lake. You know, I feel like it was really not Darian and Alexis. I really feel like the writing just was not great for a lot of these sketches. My favorite part was actually the weekend update part.
Huh.
I actually enjoy that part the most. And if I, but then if I go off the runway, my favorite runway was Alexis Michelle, and then it was Heidi and Lala Ree. I like their challenges, and I like Heidi's outfit. I might have given this week to Heidi actually, but only she took those lips off this fucking outfit.
What about James?
Yeah, I would have given it to James. That's what I was gonna say. I think James was so funny in her in the cold open, and I thought her runway was fucking great. I would have given it to James Mansfield.
Yeah, maybe you're right. Maybe I would give it to James over Heidi because I don't like Heidi's lip thing. So I'm gonna give it to James. James is my winner of the week.
Yeah.
Let's do sibling rivalry race where we decide who's winning based on our own decision.
Oh my god, should we start sibling? Sibling racery, and at the end of the season, we have our own crown and crowning episode for the winner. We give them a thing, and we do. We should have sibling racery. Cease, desist, kill yourself.
Girl.
Do not ever come back. They will be a wrap.
We see you a cease and desist on the KYS.
And the bottom queens this week are, wait, who was it again?
Nasha Lopez and Kahana Montrese.
Nasha and Kahana. And if they would have sent Kahana home, I would have been very upset. Because again, she had just won. And I thought she looked good on the runway and she was fine in the challenge. And
you would have voted for Nasha.
Only because Kahana just won. And I just wouldn't. But okay, two minds, right? If I was being Alliance Strategy Monet, it's sending Kahana home. If I was like going off of merit and doing a good job on the show, I would send Nasha home because Kahana just won.
I would have sent Kahana home because I think I'm just more. I think that Nasha's drag maybe excites me a little bit more, to be honest.
Really?
Yeah.
What about in the challenges, like in the show?
I think in some challenges she does really good. Like I don't think she was bad. Like I think that her and I think that Nasha and Kahana were at the same level, to be honest. I really do feel that way.
In this week's challenge, you think so for real?
Yeah, I don't think either one of them was like particularly stunning. I'm missing. I'm not saying she's not beautiful. She wasn't looking beautiful tonight. Yeah, I just think that they were both fine in the challenge. To be honest, like I didn't get the note that Nasha was so bad or unintelligible.
Right.
I just thought she wasn't funny, but I also didn't think that Kahana Montrese was funny either.
Interesting. Okay.
And I like Nasha's dress better.
Nasha did look, she looks stunning. Well, Bob, we are two queens down, and that means there are only
one. Okay, Jesus Christ.
What?
We need to talk about the fact that the winner of the challenge was Jimbo, and Jimbo had to lip sync against Pangina, who sent her home on UK Vee the World.
Like, how poetic is that? Like, how did Jimbo win and fucking the third person end up being Jessica Wilde? I mean, Pangina. And no, I'm not saying that this is like a production thing because one, the lip sync assassin is chosen way before, like, the lip sync assassin not chosen after they do the challenge, right? So if Jimbo had really bombed the challenge, there'll be no way to mitigate that and like let her win. So I just, it seems a little coincidence-y, no?
Do you think that's why Jimbo won? Over
you think Jimbo won? You think they pushed Jimbo to a win so they can have the Pangina storyline? That's what you're saying.
I think Jimbo did really good in the challenge, and I think Jimbo did really good on the runway.
Yeah, Monet, please don't negate Jimbo.
I thought Jimbo did a good job. I said that Jimbo was one of my favorite parts of the challenge.
Please don't negate Jimbo's hard work, please, Monet.
Anyway, but yeah, they had those lip sync moments, and Pangina turns.
They lip sync to Cyndi Lauper.
I had never heard the song.
I don't know. I think I was like, oh yeah, I think I do another song. And you know, Pangina years ago used to come to my drag shows before she was a drag queen. When she was living in New York City for a short while.
Uh-huh.
And she was like low-key friends with Natsu.
Oh my god, DJ Natsu.
And I met her through Lakaru, who's like her mentor. You know Locker Room.
Of course, Princess Locker Room.
Yeah, and Locker Room is like Pantana's like mentor, like taught her like a lot about dance and was her choreographer, her dance teacher for a long, long time. Yeah, I just remember Pantana coming to the shows, so cute. Coming to my shows out of drag, and then I found out she's like the fucking queen of Thailand.
Yeah. I think there's this, I've been watching TikTok lately, there's this like initiative of black people going to Thailand and buying property and like building houses and stuff. I'm like, bitch, I want to buy some property in Thailand. That sounds great. In Bali specifically.
Well, you should look into it. You should reach out to Pangina.
And the Thai government, they're like, come. We love that. Now, I don't know what local people there think about that. I don't know if they hate that. Because, you know, I mean, it's not the exact same thing, but a lot of people are like, Hawaiians are like, bitch, do not come here. We don't want you here. Stay away.
Reach out to Pantana. Reach out to some of your Thai friends. Reach out to Natsu.
Would you buy a house with me together?
In Thailand?
Yeah.
With you? No. I've offered to buy a house with you probably twice, and I will never offer
that
to
you. And I said, I'm saying I'm offering up Thailand.
And I'm saying no. The negotiations are closed. Category closed. 10987654321 category closed.
Category closed. All right. When I buy my shit, I don't want to hear nothing about. I don't want to hear nothing after I do my shit with Kim Chi or Plastique or Naomi.
Okay. First of all, the only reason I would ever leave the country with you is if I'm being paid to do it. Let's make that very clear. I would drive 20 minutes down the street to see you. And now that you're moving, bitch, if I'm going to clock it. If it is a minute over 20 minutes, I will never come see you.
Okay. Ever. Y'all hear this? Do y'all hear this? Loud and clear on this podcast. Okay, look, we're going to hold you to that.
Yeah, bitch, pick your house up and move it closer to me. Or buy me a house in the neighborhood. That is the only way I'll be visiting you. Uh-huh. Bitch, when you lived in Brooklyn, I came to visit you one time when I couldn't get a ride from the airport and I needed a place to stay. Oh. I didn't visit you until you came to live in my neighborhood in the Heights.
Also, when did you turn into like a mean little black girl from any 90s sitcom show? But I came to when you came to my house, to my show. When did you become that girl?
First of all, that's how I talk like this often. Okay, let's make that clear, Miss Mama. All right.
Anyway,
honey.
I have to go. I have to go shower and get ready for work. Well, I am working.
You need to shower. I'm across the world, and I had to smell you.
I smell good. My front runners are Jimbo, Alexis Michelle, for me.
I think the top three are going to be Candy, Jimbo, and Darian Lake. Those are the top three I see in my mind. And I really can't see it. I really can't see it any other way.
I say Jimbo, Alexis, and Darian Lake.
And also they showed Monica's runway, the net.
Oh, yeah.
Showed Monica's runway. It was not great. I did not love it. I did not love. But also, Air Week, and sometimes there are some real stunners in these like sent home looks. It'd be some.
Aura Mayari. Aura Mayari's Beyonce
showed up and showed out.
Yeah.
Yeah, so good.
Who was the Puerto Rican drag queen from the other season?
You gotta be a coach more specific. There's a lot of Puerto Ricans. There's a lot of Puerto Ricans on Drag Race.
From 14.
Alexa Mateo?
No. From season 14.
The really handsome one. The handsome one?
Yeah.
Alyssa Hunter?
Yeah. Yes. Had crazy runway, like amazing runways. Did all like the photo shoots postseason. Like a really amazing like stuff that they needed to show.
Yeah. She does
Mexican.
Cool. Almost everything was like a shoot.
She has some good looks. You know, Kim was the first girl I ever saw to do photo shoots for all of her looks. I'm not saying she's the first one I ever did, but the first one I saw do photo shoots for all of her looks and post them on social media. I really think Kim changed the game when it comes to Drag Race girls on social media.
I think so too. But I think Kim has said she was the first one. And it's okay for Kim to be the first. Why don't you want any of the other season 8 girls to have their accolades? Like, no one is. They all boost you up. Kim boosts you
because
up.
Because they owe me.
Acid Betty boosts you up.
Because they owe me.
I don't want to say that Kim was the first one. She was the first one. You can say that.
Because they owe me. The way you bow down to James, that's how they bow down to me.
I don't know what's your problem with Asian queens. You love to diminish their accomplishments. That's sad.
The way that I saw the video of you kissing Jinx's feet on this tour.
That's really sad.
By the way, if you all want, I will DM the video of Monet literally kissing Jinx's feet.
You always diminishing the really great and amazing accolades of Asian queens. That's sad.
When they go tell your boyfriend to fuck Matt Rogers, okay? Again. How about that?
You're sick. You're sick. Was it that?
It was actually.
You're disgusting. Oh my God. Oh, we have to go.
Bye.
Bye.